Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on a grid, Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. I am Morenci, and we've got a big announcement for you. You listen to us on this podcast, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple iTunes, and all that other stuff. But, of course, everything is sourced from Sports Grid. But Game Time Decisions will now also be simulcast and syndicated on various radio stations and simulcast on SB Nation and SB Nation Radio. Starting next week, April 14th, to be exact, actually. So we're very excited about that. Scotty Farrell as well goes coast to coast from 4 to 6. Me and Cam will step up and in at 6 o'clock, and hopefully we get some games back sooner rather than later, and we'll get in-game live back into the rotation, except we still have some work, a lot of racetrack left before we get there, despite what Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball might be. And I understand that marijuana consumption is up greatly. Weed stocks, some of the only stocks that are actually doing well right now. Alcohol, weed, and chocolate, and tobacco actually have all been very, very high sellers during this lockdown. And I want to get some of the same weed that Rob Manfred in baseball are blazing. If they think they're starting their season May 1st, Mike Blewett steps up and in. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing okay, man. I could probably speak personally for the spike in consumption, maybe a couple of extra beers and a glass of wine during the week. So, yeah, I'm contributing to the increase there.
Oh, not the weed, right? You're not contributing to the weed stock, no?
No, not at this time.
You know, ironically enough, alcohol is like, and you know, you're all right. You're not, you've got a family, and you know, you're not
keep it under wraps.
Yeah, you're not isolated, but it's different for people. And listen, it's challenging for everybody, but it's different for people that are alone, and you know, alone. There's being alone and having a life, and you know, just sort of being, you know, a little bit on pause. And there's people that are alone, and in times of crisis, it's actually the worst thing to do is to drink, right? And to get drunk. But that's exactly what's happening now, right? Exactly. People are drinking more than they've ever drank. And it's a bad idea.
Isolation is really the single biggest contributing factor to depression, right? The lack of human contact. So for people that deal with that mental health issue generally, this is difficult. And for those that maybe haven't dealt with this to this point, it can be depressing to be isolated by yourself. You know, if you're a single person living in an apartment, it's hard. You want to get out and see people. It doesn't mean that you're out every night, but human interaction is a really important part of it. So I do sympathize. Like, I have my wife to hang out with. The kids are driving us nuts, but it's also nice to spend time with them.
Yeah, I think, well, and another thing, actually, so at least so we know you have a happy marriage, because divorces are going to go up as well, right? I guess there'll be more births too, but yeah, couples are finding out a lot.
There will be more births.
Yeah, and one thing I can tell you, like, living alone, I'm finding out that a lot of people don't seem to love their children so much after living at home with them for a month.
I just think that I have little kids. They're 7 and 4. So they don't really have the emotional capacity to describe why they're frustrated, depressed for not seeing their friends. So it just comes out in outbursts, crying fits, yelling fits, stuff like that. But that's something to deal with. What I would say is one thing that you might want to be invested in as we potentially come out of this is dating apps, because I think people are really going to want to get together with one another once this is all over.
Yeah, you know, how about, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to take a look at condom stocks.
That's right. But all of that, everything that, all the offshoots of what I said, absolutely.
And in all sincerity, too, like, you know, we're all about giving people tips here, whether it's like betting tips or not, but, and I don't profess to be a stock expert, but just think about that. All sort of ultra-safe sex products, you know what I mean?
Or the flip side, medication to take care of.
Yeah,
the after effects of not protecting yourself,
and cover all aspects. Get into the robot business too, the sex robot clone stuff business.
Sure.
Like, cover
dolls,
all your bases,
all of it.
cover all your bases on this. And no, so in all sincerity, you know what else is way up actually is, and I wanted to bring this up with Cam, and I didn't get to it on Game Time Decisions, was horse racing revenue. They're one of the few industries that have kept going, and not that they're smart that they kept going, and they're still going right now, but, you know, let's be real. And this comes from someone that's owned a horse, been in the horse racing industry, hangs out of the track every day. There are some nice people in the business, but I'd be lying if I told you there weren't some real scumbags in this business too. So they don't care about a lot of things in the best of times. So they just sort of see dollar signs in this. And, you know, in case people are wondering, in case, you know, I was actually, look, like, the Meadowlands was open and the casinos were open until the governor, Phil Murphy of New Jersey, told them to shut it down. Same with New York, right? Like, Cuomo told Yonkers, listen, and people were getting sick, right? Somebody died at Yonkers, a bunch of horse people in the barn had it. And finally, they were like, listen, guys, you got to shut this down. Some states are still going, and even though they have lockdowns, and I was wondering about it, actually, and, like, a good example, in a few states, they use the crutch of horse racing is part of the agricultural business. Like, in some states, horse racing falls under, farming and agricultural. And farming and agricultural is an essential service now. But at some point you use common sense and say, farming and agricultural doesn't mean that you take you're taking exacta and trifecta bets all day.
I mean, you have to consider the optics of it. Like, yes, we're desperate for entertainment, but I'm not desperate for entertainment so much that I need horses to keep on going and putting everybody that is associated with the horses at risk. I really don't need it that badly, right? Just like Dana White is setting up this private island to get people down there. Like, I guess if you want to do that, but I'm not really asking you to do that because I don't want those people to be at risk. And anybody that's at risk of transporting them or tending to them, I don't really need it that badly.
And I don't want to sound callous, but I'm being honest. I don't care if like about all this virus, like right now, and it's angering because now that it's been sunny for a couple of days, people are going out like a lot now suddenly again. Like, I'm looking out like
the last 2 days.
Yeah. And I'm looking out my window and I just see a constant steady flow of people walking together, la di da, like everything's fine. There's suddenly more traffic. I saw Anderson Cooper on earlier today. Anderson Cooper said he rides his bicycle into the studio.
I got to tell you, if I was Anderson Cooper, I'd have a ride.
Yeah, me too.
But anyways, Anderson Cooper rides his bicycle, and he stated, like, you know, basically it was like he was like the Tour de France. He was dodging bikes, and it was packed, and you know, he was like, I just don't get, like, people, you know, just, they just don't seem to understand this. So I wouldn't care. Like, I look out my window right now, and I see like 3-4 people are walking together. And if it was like, you know what, you guys are going to get it, you're going to be ultra sick, and you might die, but you know what, you made that choice, you did it,
yeah,
that's on you, I don't care. Like, honestly, it's almost like, you know what I mean, when you walk down the street and you see somebody, you know, smoking crack. It's like, listen, enjoy the high, buddy. You made the choice. It is what it is, right? It might kill you, but you made the choice. And no one thinks
twice about it. But I'm not going to die of a crack overdose.
Exactly. You're not going to die of the crack smoke in the air. You might not like the smell of it, but you're not going to die of it. You might want to do a rock, actually, after you smell. But no, exactly. You're not going to die from it. It's like a guy that sits in a bar all day. Yeah, don't drink, but, I mean, don't drive, but whatever, dude. You want to kill yourself drinking all day, knock yourself out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We don't care. That's what frustrates me about this virus, that it's the stupidity of people. They don't understand. Like, these people jogging right now that I watch out my window, they think, oh, I feel fine. It's good. It's no problem. You could be spreading it. You don't know. Right.
Yeah.
And they just, it just, the stupidity of humankind right now is really, really angering me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm luckily, for the first time in my life, I say this luckily, but I'm in the suburbs. So I'm not in a densely populated area. My kids have been playing outside with the neighbors, but in a way that they are distant. Like, they'll kick the soccer ball back and forth, can't touch it with your hands, nobody within 6-10 feet of one another. We're monitoring it as best they can. Now, my daughter, who's 4, like, she doesn't quite get it, right? So we have to keep relaying it to her, but we're monitoring it at all times. The reality, the long story short, is that I'm not in a densely populated area, and I'm not congregating with people. When I go for a walk, I'm not that close to people, or jog, or whatever. I'm not that close to people, and I'm making sure it is that way. I haven't been in a store in 2 weeks. My wife went today, and they have a specific system in place in this Trader Joe's near us so that there's no more than 20 people in the store at any time. Everybody's wearing masks, you know, hand sanitizer, all that kind of stuff. I do feel for the people that are in heavily populated areas, but I can't stress enough, as you have, like, we're not, it's just not over. Even though it's slowing down possibly in New York, it isn't slowing down where I live in Long Island. It's peaking right now. So I'm 20 miles away from the city.
That's another thing that people don't seem to. When Cuomo said the other day, well, you know what, we peaked. And I think people sort of took that like, hey, all right, hey, it's starting to come down. Yeah, we peaked, yeah. As in 790 people died.
Like, yeah.
Like, peaked isn't like peaked, oh, it's gone. It means like, yeah, it's getting bad. But they're still like, you go up on a roller coaster, guys. The ride still goes down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like the mountain. Like, everyone's seen these little mountains. It's a mountain, guys. Like, they're saying we hope that we just reach the top of the mountain. It doesn't mean that it's like a skid, like, you know, down in a 30-second ride down. And, hey, look, we peaked. It's over. And people seem to buy into that. And it's just, it's frustrating because it'll go on longer. It puts more people in danger. And, you know, I want to get back to a somewhat, you know, routine world. So you mentioned it. The UFC, you know, private islands and international water, and, you know, they're bending over backwards. The only thing that surprises me about it is that the fact that their partners are Disney and ESPN. So I'm a little bit, part of me is surprised that somebody at Disney Corp didn't say, guys, like, you know, let's just chill out for a month or two. All right. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're going to international waters. Really, this is what we're doing. Yet.
Yeah.
I think so much money is at stake, they don't care. I think that's what it comes down to. They just don't care. But, I mean, right now, as we speak, all right, I have the news on, the sound is down. Where the Washington Nationals play, their stadium has been turned into a community soup kitchen. Like, baseball's talking about May 1st. I know they're talking about playing in Arizona, but just goes to show how out of touch some of these people really are.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, there's emergency tents in Central Park. So it's not a place that you would expect to see that. And, you know, what's interesting about the Disney tie-in that you're talking about is Bob Iger was a longtime CEO for Disney. He stepped down on February 25th. He's still the chairman, but this is a, you know, it's a pretty big decision for a new CEO to make. They have been leaning a lot more towards less political leaning television, I guess I would say, and focusing purely on entertainment. But that, as you said, that does surprise me that that they put themselves in that position. But I think the bottom line is the bottom line. You know, they have shareholders and they're looking to try to make money.
How much, as a betting man, I'd be willing to bet, how much do you think that, like, you know, like that, the Kelly Loeffler, the senator in Georgia, turns out she dumped $18 million of retail stock invested in, like, Cisco and technology and, like, Skype, you know what I mean? Like, she like, bang, bang, bang. Oh, but it was a blind trust. How much I'm willing to bet Bob Iger's, I like to see his stock. I like to see what he sold, when he sold it, and there's no coincidence, okay? I'll tell you right now. More CEOs shockingly resigned, Mike, in the last couple of months leading into this in the history of, like, corporate America. In the middle of a economic boom, they all knew. I'm telling you.
I think,
and I don't want to get, I'm not getting into 5G conspiracy and all this. I'm just being real. It's just funny because you brought up Bob. Yeah, real coincidence that he decided. Yeah. But it's not just him. There's a ton of them that realize, you know what? I don't want to have to deal with this. And I'm getting out of this. And they're smarter men than the common people. That's why they got out when they did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's entirely possible that some thought this might be coming. But I think also some are trying to get out while it was still a boom, right? They don't want to deal with the election and everything that could be fallout from that, and a potentially an economy that might have been slowing down even before the coronavirus hit. So I think many of those factors are more likely. But hell, if you are the CEO as you see this thing coming your way and you have the opportunity to step down, probably would, right?
I know. Yeah, I'm just stating, I'm looking at the companies here. I just have the list. Boeing, Expedia, you know, like I said, pretty damn good time to bail on Expedia, bro. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean? No kidding. Like, no kidding.
You know, I'm just saying, like, of all, like, I'm just looking at some of the AutoNation. The Kraft Heinz guy, that would have zero to do with it.
Groupon.
People still need ketchup. But, and maybe it's just a coincidence, right? But I don't know. I'm like a detective. I'm not allowed to believe coincidences anymore. Like I said,
you know, there's a lot of companies out there.
Can you believe, though, like the Expedia guy, like how he'd be laughing right now? Like going, dear God, man, did I get out at the right time?
A friend of mine that was a co-founder and a CEO of a company sold his company basically 2 or 3 days before all this happened. He had no knowledge of this. He had been working towards a sale, and it closed right before all of this happened. So, yeah.
There was Cineplex Odeon, one of the bigger movie chain businesses. It's based out of Toronto, actually. And same thing. I think they sold for like $2-3 billion, literally like a week before the shutdown. And movie theaters will never be the same.
By the way, definitely not. The number that I found that relates to what you're talking about, January 2020 set a record for the most CEO departures in the U.S. in 1 month in history. 219 CEOs stepped down.
Yeah. Not all because of the election, Mike. Guaranteed. Come on. That many CEOs said, yeah, you know what? I'm out. Like, come
tough,
on.
Man.
Yeah. And they all knew they got their nice little sweet package. You wouldn't get your package now either on the way out. It all comes down to money, right? Money, money, money. And that's why these leagues are trying to be so adamant to move forward right now. And we'll get Mike's thoughts on this and my belief why the National Football League will attempt to pull this off. Get on a grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Arezzi, I'm filtered. The podcast continues. I am Arezzi, Mike Blewett, Sports Grid, kicking it with us. Don't forget, starting next week, we're also going to be broadcast on SB Nation, SB Nation Radio. Will be simulcast, so not a lot of changes, really. We'll be doing our shows, but it'll be syndicated on various radio stations around America, and it'll be simulcast on the SB Nation platforms, as well as our own, and many others, actually, man. We've got more partners than Larry Flint of Hustler, and speaking of which, Larry Flint had a great tweet. He said, stay safe, everybody. No orgies. So going back to what we were talking about earlier. But so Dana
White, he's got
White,
a different compass than the rest of us.
Yes, yes. But I, you know what? I think he's actually got a bigger moral compass than some of the people out there. Yeah. But anyways. So we're speaking of moral compasses. The Ringside Physicians of America released a statement. And I didn't name the UFC by name, but they're the only combat sport company going, in which they stated that it's a horrible idea. It's just you're putting people in danger. People get hurt when they fight. Hospitals are overloaded. Like, what are you guys even thinking? And that was the Ringside Physicians of America. So if the Ringside Physicians of America don't think that it's safe to have athletes participate in a fight in which the UFC will go over the top in their precaution going into this and only have a limited amount of people to control, how the hell does baseball get off thinking about this May 1st stuff? Like, does Rob Manfred watch the news? Evidently, I know he's an idiot, as we saw the way he handled the Astros and the Red Sox situations, but like, it's not even like worthy of like talking about almost, but I got to bring it up because it's so stupid.
Yeah. So I do think that, due to the amount of revenue that is at play, they're feeling a lot of pressure from that standpoint to keep the clubs going, keep everybody paid. That's one. Two, I do think they're feeling some amount of political pressure to be the first ones out there, to be leaders in the community, to try to get this thing going.
And let me throw politically in there, if you got like point three, I was going to state, and it's not a case where it's like, wow, the government says we can't do this, but I think we can. Trump is 100% on board on these leagues. Like, Trump would support a league opening tomorrow if they announced it. So
I don't think just on board. I think pressuring in some way. And they had the commission. They had the commissioner's call over the weekend. And I do think, like, I'm not saying he's forcibly applying pressure. There's only so much that he can do, but I think he is really urging them to come up with plans to see that they can, the actionable plans. Now, that is really where I diverge. I actually do appreciate the fact that whether it's the PGA, and we might think these are pie in the sky, but that the PGA, MLB, and name your league are coming up with alternative plans to try to get back playing sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they're trying.
And I don't want to let perfection get in the way of progress in trying to get society back to normal. But I don't think most of the things that they put in this plan are actionable. Some of the minor things, yeah, fine. No mound visits. Great. Everybody's actually in favor of that, period.
Yeah, that's the least of your problems at this point. Right. You're right. Yeah.
But we're trying to get 30 teams into Phoenix in the middle of the summer to play seven-inning doubleheaders, and we're going to have AAA teams there because we know there's going to be injuries, A. We know there's going to be more injuries because not everybody's staying in the shape that they would have otherwise been in. And putting all the food workers, the trainers, the hotel workers where they're quarantined, and on and on and on and on at some sort of risk. So I just don't think it's actionable, but I think they can keep tweaking it and potentially have some baseball. But I think talking about May, I just think any discussion of anything happening before Memorial Day just seems so far away from where I sit, it seems unreasonable.
You know, Trump was very symbolic in him about Easter, which was, you know, also totally unrealistic and stupid.
He picked a date on the calendar.
Well, he picked a date on the calendar because of the revival, and it, you know, it played well to the base, right? And but it was unrealistic. Right. But you mentioned Memorial Day. I'm being more realistic, and even I don't buy into this. But as you stated, you can't just sit around. Like you have to come up with plans. We don't know.
Yeah.
Things can change quickly. There's no vaccination, but there could be access to testing, immediate testing for everybody, etc. So, like, this is a fluid situation. And we're not just going to stand, you know, sit on our hands forever. I'm almost thinking like 4th of July type thing.
You know I think I mean? That's way more reasonable.
Yes. Yes. Like I'm being just sort of more, you know, and I'm not saying full blown everything's all right. But, yeah, you know what? One of these baseball starting 4th of July, they're in Arizona. Maybe. But my whole deal is, and I don't think they can pull it off because I wasn't kidding when I said earlier, I don't think they have the mental fortitude, okay? We're not South Korea. We don't have the patience, the discipline, the know-how. They're arguing about what drugs to take still here, Mike. Like, it's not everyone's on the same page. The entire country's not even shut down, bro. Like, and this stuff works in a perfect world, Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In
I
a
agree.
Perfect world, when everyone's on the same page of mitigation and fighting, not when it's a political thing. Ah, no, it's like... You know, it's 5G technology. It's like now the conspiracies are out and people, it's like, it's only old people. It's this, you know what I'm saying, Mike? Like, we're nowhere near being able to like wrap our minds around this, in my opinion.
Yeah. You asked me like a week ago whether or not I would go to a baseball game this year. I was like, no way. Like, I'm not going to a baseball game. And now, obviously, these games that we're talking about in their plan are going to be done without fans and for the benefit of television, and everybody would love to watch it, but I just don't like. You've met baseball players before, Gabe. Like, those aren't the types of guys that are going to be locked in together for 4.5 months with just one another, with no entertainment around, and be able to handle it. And I don't blame them. I'm not crapping on the entire sport.
Some of these guys are family, man. So, and you can't bring your family. Right. That was the whole thing, too. If you bring your families, then where does it end? Like, what part of your family? What, your wife
you
and
can't.
Your kid and your grandmother? And now what? Like, you know, exactly. And some of these guys, they're close with their families, and there's like 12 of them, and they take care of them. And like Vladimir Guerrero, when he was on the Expos, there was literally, he had like 9 relatives living on the same floor of him. Like, he rented out a floor of an apartment building. And he needed it. Like, his mother cooked for him. His brother took care of things. Like, it was basically, there's a structure. And if you're Bryce Harper or Machado or one of these rich guys, Verlander, what, you're going to leave your hot wife for 4.5 months and be quarantined in the middle of a pandemic? Or like some of these guys have elderly parents and stuff. They might be rich, but they're still real people. They still have families and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I'm in favor of them tweaking this plan.
Yeah, but
I just
the
don't see how it's actionable
them
right
and
now.
Say, well, we're paying you $40 million a year, so shut up.
Maybe not in those words, but it's going to be a discussion.
Yeah, I guess basically you say, all right, don't do it, but we're giving the money back to the network then. How's that sound? right? Like, look, the NHL.
Not everybody makes $40 million bucks.
I know. Right? You're right. The NHL is sort of the first league. There was a report. They're the first ones to hit this. The NHL owners, like the clause in the contracts, are sort of being disclosed, and 35% of the salary go escrowed for NHL players, which I guess, you know, no one's ever been in this boat, so they didn't know. So they're like, 35, what? What does escrow mean? And like, they're basically kind of, it's not a panic, but this is going to be more and more with these leagues. I mean, and the other thing, you and I have talked about this. We went back to last week. These leagues have to give people money back. It's one thing, like, you can't say, oh, if you bought a ticket for this year, that your ticket's good for next year, bro. Yeah. That's too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's too much. Like, you know, it's one thing, oh, if it was in 2 months, 3 months. The Masters, I get. People that have tickets for the Masters in April, your ticket is good for November. You know, the Masters is sought after, but the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Raptors hang on to people's money and stuff. You're not hosting games, guys. You know you're not hosting games.
If you had six or eight NBA home games left and you're a season ticket holder, you're like, I'm not just going to give it to you. Like, I didn't go to the games because there were no games. Like, that's part of my contract as a season ticket holder.
Oh,
you know,
God,
just I'm just going to punt the money.
Yeah, these leagues better not drop. Well, they're going to spin it. They're going to say, we'll take the money off your tickets next year. And what if you say,
I'm
I don't
sure
want
they'll
tickets
try to do
year.
That.
I don't want tickets next year. Like, yeah, and the thing is, there is no next year. I like you said, 12 to 18 months, people aren't going to be sitting in stands. Like, we're talking about sports coming back. Yeah, sports come back with no fans in isolation. There's a big difference.
I'll give you a personal anecdote. My sister was supposed to go to Disney next week with her two kids and her husband. Her husband's in the military and is on duty right now for the National Guard. And so they can't go for many reasons, not the least of which is the Disney World is closed.
It's closed. Yeah.
But she called the hotel where she was staying. The hotel said, well, we're open, so we can't give you a refund and you can reschedule for another time. And like, that's obviously an impossible conversation to have. Like, until when? I don't know when Disney World is going to be open again. I obviously wasn't going to stay in your
hotel
in Orlando to just stay there. I was going because Disney World was open, and they can't give a refund, so they got to like bump out the reservation. Like, I say that small anecdote to understand the cascading effect that it has on businesses and people and everything else.
Yeah. So the NFL to me is a lot like the UFC. That's the big, they're the big dog in the room here. Like, and the UFC is not on that par, but the UFC is interesting. They are very powerful. You know, they were sold for $4 billion. And Dana White is friends with, they have political contacts. Like,
sure.
For real, real. Like, you know what I mean? Dana White introduced Trump at the convention. You know, he was on Air Force One recently, etc. So there's sort of the inside stuff. The other league that would have the most, like, you know, Mark Cuban calls Trump a clown and stuff, right? You know, Mark Cuban doesn't have a direct pipeline as Trump as buddies, right? The NFL does, right? All those owners and et cetera. You and I have talked about the political aspect of it. Trump wants everything back to business. The NFL is worth so much. The NFL symbolizes America even more than baseball. We can pretend baseball is the national pastime. It's not. Football is now. The NFL is king. Let's just be real. So it's so symbolic in many ways, but the NFL, at least it's like they have time. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Like, they actually could have time to hire the best doctors right now and put a plan in place. And how do we really do this? And all right. And they could make it work. I believe in the NFL that they wouldn't want to tap out. They've got like an endless pit of money to make it work. And similar situation where Dana could get an island. The UFC had the funds to do it, but the NFL have enough funds to, like, buy a town. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the NFL, yeah. I'm thinking, like, San Antonio, Texas, like, the Dome, or like even the other, like, the Idaho, the Dome they have out there. Like, they have enough juice to say to a mayor or something, a state, listen, we're going to give you, like, $200 million. we're all going to live here. We need you to shut your state down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have the juice to actually quarantine everybody, get the money, bus people, test. Like, you know, and I swear people would even bitch almost. Well, where are they getting all the tests? People would be like, shut up. NFL football's on TV, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah, like they would almost get like preferential treatment and people would agree with it. Like, fine, do whatever you need to do. And I'm just sort of thinking outside the box, but I do believe this is, I'm thinking early here, NFL football plays not like we know it. They have a single location as well. State of Texas, Florida. You can't have the Buffalo Bills flying around. Listen, we're not going to London and Mexico City this year. Let's be real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're not getting on an airplane 2 weeks in a row for our road trip. All that stuff is just ridiculous now. It adds to needless exposure, risk, etc. I think the NFL could pull it off, and I'm saying it all in September, in a condition where, all right, we'll play in Florida or Texas. No one travels, neutral field. You know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying. They're going to have to think outside the box, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is just so many people to mobilize for those NFL teams. And, like, to be honest, I actually think college is more difficult because...
Oh, college is totally done.
Yeah, because the optics of college are much worse, right? Like, you have these...
State-funded institutions.
State-funded institutions that normally... house 40 to 50,000 in some instances of Michigan and Arizona State, Ohio State, and others that normally house that many students plus employees on top of it. And none of them are allowed to show up, but you're bringing 100 football players back and the staff in order to be able to come in here. Mike Gundy had some comments today about talking about his plan that's in place. Now, it was just him talking about a plan, much like you said earlier. I can't just sit around and do nothing. He said, our plan is to come back in here on May 1st, test everybody, what have you. If it gets pushed back, it gets pushed back. Some people will find it to be tone deaf what he said, but again, he's just talking about a plan. If the Oklahoma governor says shut it down, he's not going to ignore that order. Right? Unless he's crazier than we already thought he was. But I understand what you're saying. The NFL mobilizing in one or two towns, there's just so many games. How do we get all the games in? And morning to night?
I hate to always go
days
back
a week.
I always hate to go back to politics on this too, but it is political and it will be political, people, like especially with the election coming up. But so as you stated, what do you think, like, the governor of Oklahoma's reaction is to Mike Gundy saying this, as opposed to if the USC Trojan coach said this? Like, if the USC Trojan coach said, oh, yeah, we're fine. We're going to open up practice in 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks. And
I think Clay Helton's getting a call from Gavin Newsom.
Exactly.
By
the mayor of L.A. would say, what are you, stupid? Like, what are you even talking about? Oklahoma's different, right? They're like, open up practice. All right, get on a grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Renzi Unfiltered, the podcast continues. And, Mike, we were just talking about, like, the political aspect of it. And you see what I'm saying? Like, Mike Gundy can say that. And people in Oklahoma will say, yeah, yeah, you know, gosh darn it, let's get back to work and let's do it and we'll be fine. And in other places, like a great example, I brought it up, Gavin Newsom. He's on record, guys, right? I mean, if you follow these guys' press conferences and interviews and stuff, and I'm not talking about what ESPN, I'm talking about the governors, He's on record as stating he doesn't see football being played in his state. That he doesn't think it's smart like that. He goes, I want it back, but there'll be a second wave. And he basically brought up the 12 to 18 months, the vaccination, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't, you know, he said definitely no fans. And then even when they said, well, no fans. And then, you know, Newsom, the guy's a rock star, right? He knows everybody.
Former athlete.
Yeah. And he goes, I'm friends with a very high profile NFL player who called and asked me and said, hey, are we going to be good? Am I going to be going to work? Am I going to be playing this year? And he goes, I told my friend, I don't think so. Right? So Phil Murphy, saw it in an interview over the weekend. Wolf Blitzer, surprisingly enough, asked him. The New York Giants and New York Jets, of course, Governor Murphy, play at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Will they be able to play preseason? Are they ready to open up camp and start on time? And Murphy sort of said, hey, listen, there's not even a time to think of talking about sports right now. But yeah. And he went on to say, but there are significant challenges to your question, Wolf. That's what he said.
Yeah.
As in,
he's right.
No, I don't want to piss people off politically and tell everyone, yeah, the Giants aren't playing here, but I think that's what he's getting at. Right? They can't tell everyone now, Mike. That's another thing. People are naive. Oh, no, it'll be fine Easter. That's what he just told you to get you by for 2 weeks. They're like children, yeah. Mike, isn't it? Oh, you'll get your ice cream soon.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to, the one thing that, look, even if things trend really positively here over the next few weeks, and by Memorial Day, we're like, hey, this has really slowed down on us. We do have to consider the fact that there still isn't a vaccine. It could come back. And if we start letting people into stadiums, they'll all get sick all over again. It's what happened 100 years ago, and we wouldn't want that to happen again. So the governors are definitely not going to be the ones standing there touting people's ability to come back for a freaking football game, especially considering that the genesis of the outbreak in Italy was because of a freaking soccer match.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So it doesn't mean, though, it's almost like the NFL draft. All it takes is one. You got to find one governor somewhere. They'll say, yeah, yeah, we'll do it in our state. So that's where I think we're getting at now. There is going to be life, guys. We're going to get through it. There's going to be sports back. It'll be unique. There won't be fans. There'll be events, the UFC fights, whatever. Tennis, we're trying to figure out ways. You know, how can they do this as safely as possible, even without fans, etc. I think the fan thing is real, guys, for the next 12 to 18 months. Or now, let's say 11 to 17, because it's been that long now. But doesn't mean society. And as Mike stated, we need to integrate society and pieces back out. We can't stay inside forever, but it doesn't mean that everything's going to be back to normal. It doesn't mean that sports are fully back. Very hard. Team sports, and I've read a lot of medical stuff about this. They're just basically saying team sports are sort of one of the tougher things to bring back, right? This isn't working from your office, right? All right, we're opening the company. We only have a few people in the office. You're working from home. It's team sports. NFL, like, is what? You got 75 people there, 150 people suddenly, 200 people. And it's just, guys, it's very, 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 very challenging. But the NFL draft is going on. And we've talked a lot recently about this Zoom conferencing platform and about how, you know, a lot of these platforms, people think that it's a tool for the Chinese. And it actually is. If you follow the data, they do have access to the information. So basically, but listen, I'm not of the belief that any of these things are ever private. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think? Like, when you're going on Skype or like Google Hangouts or like, you know what I mean? Like, you're using a free service, guys. That's, you know what I mean? And it's in a cloud. So I don't expect why people are always surprised that, oh, I can't believe they can see it. Yeah, of course they can see it. But anyways, there's been a lot of hacking recently with Zoom. right? Like people crashing conference calls and stealing data and blah, blah, blah. The NFL draft is on Zoom. And I know the NFL would have they're going to have a nice security team on top of this, but you're in technology, Mike. John Harbaugh brought it up and he goes, hey guys, like you guys better make sure that this thing doesn't get hacked in the middle of the draft. And Harbaugh reads the news because he said, I'm seeing a lot of stuff about Zoom getting hacked.
Yeah, and Tom Dimitroff, the Falcons GM, said that he has some concerns about the virtual draft. It was on Pro Football Talk earlier today. And he wants to give some teams leeway if technical difficulties come in with getting the picks in. And honestly,
very good call.
They're going to have to.
It's almost like a fantasy football draft. And we've all been there, Mike. And
yeah, of course.
It's happened to me. My computer died. Oh, my God. My computer is freezing. ESPN's webcast, like the draft froze. We've all been there in fantasy over the years where you've been screwed. Imagine, Mike, it's real life. The Minnesota Vikings, you're on the clock, and it's like, son of a bitch, Zoom just crashed on me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to just understand that, look, everybody's going to have to be wired in on phones and on laptops. But the difficulties he's probably talking about are since they're not able to be gathered, if they're running a Zoom for their team, the Falcons personnel department, plus the coaching staff, then they want some leeway. Like, what if that crashes and they can't get in touch with Dan Quinn and there's 3 minutes on the clock and they haven't gotten the trade offer?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
That's tough. You're on your own, like, for that.
Right.
They're going to have to be as prepared as they've ever been for a draft this time.
And he's saying that they're working on about 75% of the information that they normally have.
Really? 75%, huh?
No in-person interviews, obviously. So that's out. Skype interviews only.
I almost think, though, put it in a handicapping term, sometimes over-analysis leads to paralysis, right? And we see it in business and in life and data, et cetera. And, you know, you want to go with the data, but let's be real. It's not like these NFL general managers have been getting it right under their current circumstances. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if like less is, it might not be more for these clowns, to be honest. It's already overkill as it is.
No, I absolutely think it's a paralysis by over analysis. I absolutely think that happens to some extent. So simplifying it may be a good thing. It's not good for the small school guys and some other. It's going to be a little bit more of a conservative draft. You know, you're just going on the film and the data. You're not getting the in-person interviews. And I've said this before, like those in-person interviews can be misleading. I think you tend to get confirmation bias in there and you fall in love with guys or get turned off by guys because of a bad interview. And you have to remember, these are 21-year-olds that don't know what they're doing in job interviews. The ones that are smart and have been coached up, they can pull it off. The other guys, they might blow an interview because they're a 21-year-old idiot like you and I were.
Well, I was a genius at 21. Speak for yourself.
I'm sure. No mistakes.
It's a good point,
no mistakes
though.
Made, right?
Yeah, these kids have never had an interview in their life. You're right. Like, even when they went to college, they were getting begged to go to the college that they went to, right?
Okay, exactly.
Like, they didn't have to impress Saban. Saban was trying to, like, con them. It was, like, the other way around. It's a good point. Now, this is, though, where we're going to find out. And it'll take a couple of years. And I'm actually interested in this dynamic of it. We're going to know in a couple of years who the best scouting departments are. Right? Like which teams, which scouting services, because
for this draft,
they'll pay the price for this year, right? Like they'll pay the price. Like some of these guys, it'll be interesting to see like who's just going to be whacked out and somehow thrown off by this. Right. Like, and you know, some guys will just be, I don't like it. Like, you know what I mean? I hate to use fantasy football, but I will because, you know, that's the way we use drafts. You know, sometimes there's a site you don't like. It's like, I hate this site. I don't like drafting on this site. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this league. I don't like this rule. I don't like, and you don't get into a groove and you're just bothered the whole time. It's definitely going to be, there's going to be a few GMs that are just complaining the whole time, right? This is bullshit. I can't believe this. What do you mean I can't do? Well, I don't even know what. Like, it just sort of, which one of these teams is going to be calm and say, you know what, we got this. These are the players we like.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, underrated, you have me thinking about this as you're talking about the technology and everything else. Underrated most pressure in the draft, IT guys working for the NFL teams.
Yeah, they better be getting paid well, not just common pay for the, like, yeah, they're saving this draft.
You know, you're talking about Harbaugh saying it better work. You know who's got the heat on him is an IT guy in Owings Mills, Maryland. He's trying to figure out how to get the entire GM and personnel department hooked up along with the coaching staff so that they can sign off on these picks. But, look, I think your overall premise here is fair. I think that these teams do overanalyze, but there probably are some key pieces of information that they wish they had that they're just not getting right now. But it's about the tape and about the data. That's what it is. It's an old school draft.
They had the combine as well. I really don't sympathize with these guys. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. The college guys are different where it's going to throw them off. Right. And it's interesting. You see the different dynamics between these guys. I brought up like Nick Saban. Nick Saban being who he is, they created an app. And basically every player on Alabama is getting tracked like on an app. Like, I don't even know these. I don't work. You know what I mean? But, you know, I guess on cell phones, like they can tell like with your workout, like the phone can tell whether you're working out or not. And like whether you're doing each exercise and drill even. And so they've got an app that's like monitored. So Alabama players are working out the team regiment individually and they're being monitored by an app. And he checks in via video link on you. Hey, what's going on, Darwin? Yeah, you staying out of trouble? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's on him. LSU. LSU is not. I saw because it's fun, actually. You see the college kid workouts. Kids in LSU were just running up and down a hill alone. Like, there was two dudes on LSU, like, next to this hill, like, in a ravine. And they were like, LSU Tigers, champ, baby. And they were running up and down the hill. And Dabo Sweeney was asked. So, like, how you keeping up with your kids? And, like, right now? And real, right a shot, man, at Alabama. He goes, my kids do the right thing. I don't need an app to trap them.
Oh, man. Just lobbing grades.
Yeah, it really was. Hey, like, I was thinking, wow, like, middle of a virus. And, you know, Dabo, you're this nice guy. But, man, he really is the king of ending sentences with pot shots. He really is.
Yeah, he learned from Spurrier. Spurrier was the master at that. Just throw a barb on your way off the podium.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, my kids do the right thing. I don't need to worry about my kids. I don't need an app to trap them, to track them, to see that they're working out. I was like, wow, a little bomb drop. How about Mike Leach, huh? Mike Leach, listen, I've always thought Mike Leach is a clown. I've never been a fan of his. I've always thought that he's been overrated as a coach because he's an entertaining soundbite. Yet, yeah, it was real funny, so... He basically, there was a cartoon about a woman that was knitting a noose.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, how's quarantine coming? And basically she's like, you know, she's going to hang her husband.
Yeah.
All right. Ha, 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 whatever. But it's the South. It was in bad taste. It's just stupid. And he's lost players because of it. Kids have left and they're like, you know what? I kind of heard he was a clown. I'm out. Like, I'm not doing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't fathom that. And I'm not going to overreact to it, but I simply can't fathom that somebody at any position, let alone his position, would think that is a funny joke.
And the big thing about him is how he's intelligent, right? That's the big thing.
Oh, I know.
He's smart as a whip and he's intelligent.
Just, you don't have to post everything that you think that you smile about. You have to just think for 5 seconds. Just think about what is going to happen if you post that.
Yeah, let's not forget.
It really didn't. Wouldn't like when I read the story about the player transferring, it took me 2 seconds to be like, wow, I can't believe he did that.
Let's not forget, he locked a kid in a shed before.
I know. Of all the guys.
Yeah, so exactly, like,
he tortured somebody.
Like, so other kids are going to see, they're going to be like, so this guy, he's like this. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he treats players horribly, too. Oh, yeah, like, I'm going to stay here.
Why do you think he has this reputation that he has? Just because he's funny? Is he good in interviews?
You know, the thing is, he's not prime time, this guy. Like, he's going to get crushed in the SEC. Like, you'll see. Like, it's just he's a circus act. He's not a horrible coach. He's the type of guy that if you have a bad program, he'll get you 8 wins. You know what I mean?
Like, he also, you know, by the way,
he's not the guy that's going to get you 12 wins in elite stuff and stuff like that. He's never done it.
He was the head coach in the two towns that if you talk to anybody, and I have many connections in college athletics, two towns, there's nothing, saying nothing bad about the towns, but they are about as far off the map
and remote
from
yeah.
other schools as you can be, from Washington State in Pullman and Lubbock and Texas Tech. Those are the two of the most difficult places to get to in all of college athletics.
Yeah, so, now you're on CBS TV every Saturday and stuff. It's not the same. Exactly. Yeah. This is mainstream.
Look, and Starkville isn't Austin, clearly, but you're in the SEC Beltway, and people are traveling to those towns all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the media spotlight is just bigger, and, you know, it won't end well. But always fun, great time breaking it down. Stay safe. Mike Blewett, get on a grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.